Welcome to The Property Wizard. If you are brand new to the real estate investment world or have limited experience, you've come to the right place. Freddie Crouch has over 35 years of real estate investing experience. He's seen it all, and he's ready to share it with you. This podcast takes an inside look at investing in real estate, what to look for, and most of all, how to move forward. Please welcome the Property Wizard, Freddie.
Welcome, everybody, to the Freddie and Bernie Show. First, I want to thank Nathan Simon for that great tune. Nathan is part of the team at Carl Speaks, which is headed by no other than podcast guru Carl Edwards. Thanks, guys. Great tune. You've got me. Let's start off with any mailbag questions we might have. I understand, Bernie, that we do have a question from Barry. Is that right?
Barry's question is, how do you determine who is in charge in a syndication?
Great question. Thank you very much, Barry, for asking. Well, there is no absolutely correct answer here. Just for the sake of some of the listeners that haven't been listening to all our podcasts, the term syndication is very much synonymous with a co-tenancy. And what governs both is called a co-tenancy agreement. And in that agreement, there are sections of it that stipulate just who will be in charge. It could be one of the partners. It could be maybe two or three of the partners. And it can be somebody completely outside of the partnership or co-tenancy agreement altogether. You may want to hire a manager, which just by chance is exactly what this podcast is about. It's about professional management. So just to recap, no correct answer. It can be just about anybody. But one important point to keep in mind is that these agreements are usually democratic in nature. They're really governor controlled by those who own the shares. So, for instance, if there are 10 shares and they're divided up into sections of maybe one section of five and one of three and one and two, the person who has five shares or five sections of the co-tenancy actually carries the most votes. So I hope that answers the question for you. Again, thanks. Thank you very, very much. If you have any questions, it's info at gentryres.com. Gentryres is GentryRes.com.
From the current events desk of the Property Wizard, it's news of the week.
I got a brief article here that I just caught my attention because of what it says about, even though people are going on and on today about how difficult it is to buy a home and how very expensive it is to buy real estate, here's something that I think you'll find really interesting. In the Toronto Star, the July 28th edition, there's an article by staff reporter Ireland Laverley that is headlined with the following: nearly 20% of GTA homeowners under 35 own more than one property, survey finds. So keep that in mind. You know, that's the primary group that's buying their first home, but most of these people have found a way to either get involved or purchase a second property. It's a survey based on 1,500 homeowners, 500 in the Greater Toronto area, 500 in the Greater Montreal area, and 500 in the Greater Vancouver area that was completed this past June. So keep that in mind. If you think that buying a secondary property or a primary property or any type of investment property is just outside your reach, here's a survey that says otherwise. There are a lot of people, a lot of younger individuals, people that usually, as far as the demographic is concerned, you'd consider being first-time home buyers, who are buying secondary properties as a form of investment. So there you go to all those naysayers out there. It's a very, very interesting study. Great statistic. So keep that in mind. You can do it. You just need to have the right information and you need to have the right parts to do it. And that's what we're here for. We're really going to try to help you get exactly to that point. So last podcast, we explained that the lack of good and effective property management can greatly affect the value of your investment. Now, that being said, property management can be a very demanding and time-consuming task for some of us, depending, and it depends a great deal on not just your personality type, but your available time and the type of properties that you own. It's going to take a lot more to manage a rooming house, for instance, than it will a secondary unit in your own home. But let's say you originally opted to manage your own portfolio, but it just got to be too much for whatever reason. That it's not a negative situation. I really want to emphasize that. It's not a negative situation. In fact, it's a positive scenario. You know, you've come to the realization that things are getting maybe a little too involved, or you've just come to the determination that maybe it's time to let somebody else take on the workload. Again, there can't be enough said about the importance of good, strong management. Do you have anything you want to add about that, Bernie? What do you think about that?
It would make sense that, you know, at a certain point, what's your time worth? What's your hourly wage worth? And then, you know, if you were doing something else, even though this is your investment and it's your nest egg, or, you know, you're going from there, I would hazard the guess that letting a pro come in.
Those are all really, really good points. And again, you want to emphasize the fact that it's not a negative thing. I mean, circumstances change, time demands change, particularly if you're a younger investor, you decide to start a family. I mean, there's family commitments. And it's at times like those when you need to make your mind up. Hey, look, it's been fun. I've been able to deal with this. Or maybe I can be a combination of the two. Maybe you can handle the secondary unit in your principal residence, but maybe you want to hand over management of a duplex or triplex or multi-unit to someone else. And that's perfectly legitimate. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So probably the first question that a lot of people have, and the number one reason why people aren't hiring professional managers to begin with, is because of the cost, right? Makes sense. And again, there's no hard or set rule here, very much like what we were talking about, who's in charge of a co-tenancy arrangement. It can be a fixed monthly fee, and that can be based on either the size or the number of units we're speaking about, or the type of apartment units they are. It can be a fee based on a percentage of the gross or net operating income. Now, that is usually used when we're talking about commercial units, where there actually is a gross and net operating income. And for the benefit of some of our listeners who may not know the difference when we're talking about commercial property, there are two specific parts of any type of a commercial lease, unless otherwise stated. You've got your basic rent, which is what you pay on a per square foot basis for the premises that you occupy. And then there's the additional rent, which is what you pay again on a per square foot basis for your proportional share of the expenses related to the operation of that particular building. Together, if you were to add the additional rent and the basic rent, that will give you a gross figure or a gross rent figure. And property management fees can be based on a percentage of the gross figure, or they can be based on a percentage of the basic rent. That's usually traditionally the way it works. Now, obviously, you're going to pay less on a percentage weighted scale if you're paying on the basis of gross rent than you will if you're paying on the basis of basic rent. Only makes sense. But the two pretty much are the same. It just really depends on your bookkeeping, your habits, how easy it is for you, and primarily how the management company or the management individual that you're dealing with prefers to work. So again, there's no set or fast rule when it comes to that. So it could be number of units. It can be where those units are located. It can be the type of units. When it comes to commercial, it can be, again, a varying percentage of either gross rent or your basic rent. So again, doesn't matter. Again, whatever you decide, if you're comfortable with it, if both parties are comfortable with it, then that's as good as gold in my book. So there's no hard or fast rule. Fees, just like anything else, can be negotiated. You're going to expect to pay more for those managers with professional accreditations like a CPM, which is a certified property manager. They're pretty much the pinnacle when it comes to qualifications and property management is concerned. You may not require a CPM. You may just need someone who works for a CPM to manage and oversee your portfolio and deal with the day-to-day aspects. Or they could be an ARM, which is an accredited residential manager, or an ACOM, which is an accredited commercial manager. And as you mentioned before, Bernie, their education and experience is well worth the money. They are going to save you money just based on their experiences alone. And as you know, I'm often fond of saying, Bernie, experience is the best teacher. So property managers, not unlike you operating as a manager yourself, they have their own teams. Do you remember, Bernie, who some of these people form part of your team actually are? Plumbers?
Electricians, painters, if you have appliances or other equipment you're responsible for in that space, if you're HVAC, you know, there's flooring. And then you have your general contractors, right? If you're going to remodel the space. And of course, if you have vacant space, I guess it's going to also involve your realtor to come in and help you know, bring your clients.
At the end of the day, professional property managers do have their own teams. The benefit that they have that maybe you don't enjoy is the fact that they usually have a list of preferred contractors in different segments. And these people are usually chosen because they can be relied on and their pricing is very good. In many cases, it could be that the cost savings for just general maintenance services is substantial or considerably substantial enough to pay a good part of the cost of the property manager himself. So there are substantial savings to be had by using just the horsepower that a professional manager can bring to your portfolio. The real thing that you have to keep in mind is that the property manager will also usually pay up front for a lot of these services. As a matter of fact, some of these people will insist that the managed company pay them directly. And you can expect on your monthly statement that you're going to see the cost of what that contractor charged the property manager to do, you know, the required work, to do whatever it may be you needed done at a building in your portfolio. Now, usually what happens, what we do, for instance, is we always include the actual invoice we've received from the contractor. And it's stipulated and it's shown on the month-end statement. And then we charge a certain override. And that can be anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending, for the admin and for the paying of the contractor and for the arrangements and for your time, essentially. Now, that changes a bit if you need an on-site visit. If there's something that you need to be specifically there, most property management contracts will actually have a stipulation or a per hour charge based on certain circumstances. Obviously, you're not going to send a property manager out if there's problems with the fridge or a stove, something that can be easily handled by an appliance repair person. But you may need one, at least initially, when it comes to any type of exterior maintenance, just for no other reason but to make sure and to go over, you know, the requirements, to make sure things are done the way you expect them to be done. And that isn't so unusual. There may be a little bit of a front-end charge, but it's 9 times out of 10, well worth it. So that's something to keep in mind. There is a charge related to this, but most property management firms will, again, use their own crews, or they'll have their own maintenance personnel that can take care of so many of these issues. They could have their own groundskeeping crew. They could have their own appliance repair people or general contractors. And a lot of the larger firms just have that. And they'll stipulate, again, in their contract exactly what that's going to cost you. And I would suspect that most times there'll be considerable savings to be had.
So basically, the property manager handles the back office. If you have a multi-tenant unit, you don't have to worry about screening. They'll handle the screening. They'll handle the phone calls. They'll handle the calls in the middle of the night. They'll handle the calls, you know, where scheduling doing the maintenance. There's everything like a car, right? You have to change oil X number of kilometers, right? There are things inside the property that have to be serviced on a regular basis to keep them fit, right? So that you don't have downtime and you don't have tenants or clients being upset with you.
In my almost 40 years of managing property, I'd suggest to you that it's maybe happened 3 or 4 times. It's not something that happens on a regular basis, but people just, they don't know how they're going to react. They don't really want that type of responsibility. Well, a professional management company, a professional manager will turn around and they will take that pressure away from you to make your entire income or investment property experience a lot easier to handle. You know, so outside of the bookkeeping, you know, they'll deal with tenant phone calls. You know, they'll even submit government remittances if that's what it is you'd like them to do. They'll advertise the vacancies if there's vacancies in the unit. In fact, that's one of their primary jobs, making sure that your units are full. And if they're not, resolving that and discussing it with you and saying, look, we need to do this to meet the current, you know, market demands. This is going to make the unit more attractive or the building more attractive. You're going to have a lot of that discussion when you originally pass or hand over your portfolio to a professional manager. So outside of that, a good manager will also schedule maintenance or take care of maintenance issues and repairs. A good manager should be able to take a look at your project and say, what you should be doing is you should establish a reserve, some sort of reserve fund. Now, we're not talking a reserve fund that is a requirement of a condominium corporation. That is a form of property manager. We're just not speaking of that specifically today. But a good property manager will take a look at your property and say, Bernie, you need to keep in mind that over the next 5 to 7 years, you're going to have to replace your roof. So what we should do is we should establish some sort of reserve fund so that when the day comes that it actually has to be done, it's not as much of a shock for you, or it's not as much of a financial consideration for you. So a good manager will sit down and say, okay, we have items A, B, C, D, and E. These things are going to have to be dealt with at some point in the relatively near future. So how are we going to deal with this? This is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to establish a reserve fund. We're going to establish a set amount of monies that if it doesn't pay for the improvements or the repair in full, will go a long way towards actually paying for a good part of it. So that's a very important role of a professional manager as well. It's something that you should do if you're managing the property yourself. But again, these are things that you can expect a professional manager to do. And you've already mentioned a few of the other things that a property manager can do in the guise of saving money. You know, insurance, yes, we spoke about that, cleaning services and supplies, and not just the services themselves, but again, exterior maintenance, whether it's grass cutting or whether it's snow clearing, if you're in a climate where, you know, that's a necessity. And again, maybe the property manager, depending on the firm and who you choose, maybe they have their own crew. And there can be nothing but cost savings when dealing with, you know, a property manager that has their own contractors that they work with on a regular basis. So it's an awful lot to digest and a great deal to kind of try to work through. But was there anything else that kind of came to mind, Bernie, about this topic, about professional managers and your portfolio?
I think at the end of the day, what will happen is the professional manager will deal with the things that you haven't thought of or don't know about. Right, because they've been doing it for a while. And again, that goes back to if you're hiring a pro, they understand all the avenues and all the ins and outs of what's going on. And they're there to make you successful so that they can be successful. It's very symbiotic. And yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, that's again, a perfect summation. You know, I should just close my mouth a little more and let you carry on. You've got a really good grasp of this. But then again, based on your background, it's not like property management is something that you haven't had to do yourself.
Exactly. Freddie, this is great.
Good. Super. Well, if you have any questions, you know what to do. Send us an email.
It's time for the Property Wizard's Word of the Day.
What's the word of the day, Bernie?
Encroachment.
An encroachment is usually some sort of fixture. And when I say that, it's something similar to a wall, or a fence. Sometimes when I say a wall, it could be maybe, you know, a garage wall, for instance, that wasn't built within the property lines. A lot of people build these garden sheds or garages in the furthest corner of their property without really knowing where the property line is. So when I say a wall, it could be a landscaping wall. It could, you know, a garden shed wall. It could be a garage wall. Even, you know, on the off chance, although highly unlikely, could also be, you know, part of a wall of a residence. So anyways, an encroachment is a fixture, like a wall or a fence, which illegally intrudes into, or to use the legal term, invades on public or private property. And that has the effect of diminishing the size and the value of the invaded property. Now, that can very often be corrected. And most of the encroachments we're talking about are minor in nature, but sometimes they can be quite substantial. And that's why, for instance, it's important to, if you don't have an actual building location survey, which not too many people do in today's day and age, unless you're out in the country or, you know, you're dealing with maybe an agricultural property where there's several outbuildings on it. That's why people spend the money on title insurance. And I know that we've spoken about title insurance yet, but title insurance will generally cover the expenses related to remedying a minor encroachment like that. So important to understand what it means. It's important when you're buying a property that you be aware of any, particularly if one day somebody comes to the door and knocks on it and says, hey, by the way, you know, I'm putting a driveway down this side of the property and your garage is going to have to come down. You need to be aware of these things. You need to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that if you buy a property that encroaches onto another, you may very well be called upon to remedy that encroachment. Title insurance is just one way by which that can occur. So anyways, look at next podcast. I believe we have a guest, Kurt Frohman from Pynchon. He's coming in. Hopefully, he's got an awful lot of ground to cover. Hopefully, we'll be able to fit it into a single podcast. But if not, we'll break it into two. Yeah, so join in and listen to our next podcast. We'll have Kurt Frohman from Pynchon. He's going to talk about environmental site assessments. And that is something that you're just not going to be able to avoid if you buy any property, particularly investment property today. One final point. Remember, you can save $250 on your next Gentry Learning course by using the phrase podcast when checking out. And you want to know more about those courses? Just visit us online at www.GentryRes, that again is GentryRes.com. And you'll see a tile there for Gentry Learning. Go visit it, click on it, and save yourself $250. I think that's just about it for today, Bernie. Anything to add?
Probably recap your email address for any questions, and it's info@gentryres.com. So info and the at symbol, then Gentry, GentryRes.com. And Gentry Res is all one word.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And remember, if there are no problems, there are no opportunities. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining Freddie on another edition of The Property Wizard. Got a question? Ready to invest? Email info@gentryres.com. And if you'd like to find out more about the courses offered through Gentry Learning, visit gentryres.com. Until next time, remember, if there are no problems, there are no opportunities.